On this episode of Secrets of Staffing Success, we're going to talk with Amy Bingham about how staffing firms can get ready for 2019. What are some of the biggest challenges to the staffing industry? And what are some of the biggest opportunities for the staffing industry in the coming year?
Welcome to Secrets of Staffing Success from Haley Marketing. Candid conversations with innovators and thought leaders in the staffing and recruiting industries. Your host for Secrets of Staffing Success is Todd Lewandowski, Director of Content Marketing with 15 years experience in marketing for the staffing industry. You can follow the show on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, and the podcast app on your Apple device. And now, here's Todd.
Our guest this week on Secrets of Staffing Success has been in the staffing industry for over 20 years, the past 11 as owner of Bingham Consulting Professionals. She's Amy Bingham. Amy, thanks so much for joining us this week.
Thank you, Todd.
Well, tell us a little bit about Bingham Consulting.
So I am a independent consultant to the staffing industry after a 14-year run with Sirion, where I held every position imaginable. I left in 2007 to take kind of what I'd learned over the years and help primarily small to mid-size, independently owned firms grow their businesses. So that's everything from strategy to execution. I do a lot of operational work. Standard operating procedures, a lot of work with hiring and talent development, coaching, training, really runs the gamut. Hmm.
And how did you get started in the staffing industry originally?
You know, like many people, I actually fell into it. I answered a classified ad. That's how old I am. Many years ago, I was this is after a career in the retail management industry, and that's a great recruiting ground for us. So I answered that. I was intrigued, and Sirion then Interim Services hired me.
Well, you have a unique look at the staffing industry, kind of like we do here at Haley Marketing, and you know that you work with a number of companies. So I kind of wanted to just pick your brain a little bit about the industry as a whole right now. And I guess let's start there and just very simple question. Is the industry itself in a good place right now?
You know, I have to answer that with yes, with a caveat. Yes, for the most part. I think, you know, with the unemployment rate at a 49-year low of 3.7%, and actually much lower in certain areas of the country, the good news is demand for staffing services is high, but the supply of candidates is challenging the industry significantly. All of my clients report having more job orders than they can fill.
Right.
So it's a good problem to have, but it's a problem nonetheless. Those that employ creative strategies for recruiting, and specifically in the area of the grassroots, which are often overlooked, referral programs, as well as taking advantage of a lot of the new recruiting technologies or using artificial intelligence to really drive efficiency in the recruiting process, and then figuring out how to upskill workers. Those firms that do those things, will grow at a faster rate over the next few years.
Yeah, you kind of led me into one of my questions I was going to have down the road, but let's get to it now, is that, you know, with this shortage, there still seems to be a lot of staffing firms that don't have a good recruitment marketing plan. You know, what should staffing firms be doing right now? You know, should they be treating candidates like they treat prospective clients?
Honestly, yes, they have to. We are in an environment where you have to sell to the candidate. So to give you an example, there is a big difference between a job description and a job posting. Your job description is what the individual has to do, right, on the job. The job posting should be a sales pitch. And I think the firms that are using effective creative marketing strategies like video and even perhaps just holding your phone out in front of you and recording raw video. Those are tactics right now that are very well received because I think they're authentic. So that's just one example. But I think multiple medium we need to use to reach potential candidates in this environment. And yes, we do have to sell to them.
I want to look at kind of a little bit of down the road here a bit as we're approaching the end of 2018. What should staffing firms include in their yearly planning in to make sure that 2019 is a success? I know one number one is have a plan, have a yearly plan, because I'm always astonished how many staffing firms don't have an annual plan. But in your eyes, what are some of the most important things they need to be including in that plan for 2019?
Well, you're absolutely right. I encounter more owners of independent firms that that will tell me when I ask if they have a plan, they'll say, well, you know, it's in my head. And I say, well, let's get it out of your head and on paper. So that's the first thing we need to do. So, yes, the planning piece is huge. That said, 70% of strategy is never executed. So I like to talk as much about, if not more about, okay, now we have our 3 to 5 year plan. What do we need to do in 2019 to start to make this a reality? So 2 to 3, and that's any more than three is probably not manageable.
Yeah.
2 to 3 key objectives that will actually be potentially high payoff, that are doable, achievable, that the owner, executive, and team can actually make happen is what I recommend doing. So take that plan and boil it down to bite-sized pieces and decide first and foremost, what are we going to do? What are the 2 or 3 things we're going to do in 2019 that's going to help move the needle?
It's also that time of year for year-end reviews. And, you know, if we look at the internal staff of staffing companies, and I know that, you know, turnover is always a big issue in this industry, but what kind of metrics should staffing firms or staffing owners be looking at when they evaluate their internal team? Is it all just about, you know, the bottom line sales dollars?
Well, you know, first let me say I'm not a big fan of annual reviews. I think feedback should happen on the job every day by the leader, manager, coach, really the coach in the moment, to develop our internal talent. This is a very tough business. This is a business of highs and lows. When placements go well, we're on a high. When we get a call from the customer or the candidate saying this is not working out, we're taken immediately down into the trough of our behavior potentially. And I think what I observe is that owners that are consistently positive, owners and executives, good, strong leaders that are consistently positive, will ensure that production remains consistent. So I think, you know, first and foremost, if you're doing a review, it's going to be based on the production. Is this individual hitting his or her key metrics in recruiting and in sales? But beyond that, though that's the key marker, other behaviors such as taking initiative versus being asked to do something, demonstrating high potential for promotion, being team-centric, no I in team, those who volunteer for special projects, those folks are going to rise. They're going to be the cream of the crop that are tapped for. Now, they're going to have that fantastic knock it out of the park year-end review for firms that are still doing that and on the bench for promotion.
You know, you were one of the many guests that we've had on when we asked that question, how'd you get started in the staffing industry? And they say almost verbatim, well, I kind of fell into it by accident. You know, nobody ever goes to college to study to be, you know, a recruiter or in the staffing industry. But that being said, and especially with this current, you know, unemployment environment right now, what should the staffing industry be doing to find their next crop of young talent? And I'm speaking here of the internal staff for a staffing firm. You know, should we be reaching out at the collegiate level to the next group of, you know, employees for staffing firms?
Well, I can almost answer that in one word because you basically said it. Yes. The answer is a resounding yes. Nobody gets a degree in recruiting, right? So it's not even on the radar of most college students. I think we've got to start talking to these folks when they're in their, you know, junior year. We need to be out at recruiting events, on-site college recruiting events, and we need a marketing strategy, quite frankly, around kind of promoting this industry as a career. And there are some, again, the firms that are doing this well are emerging with great talent. The recruiter position is the entry-level role to this industry. And really, if you hire green, though if that's not a perfect world, there are some things you need to have in place to hire if you're going to hire junior folks right out of school. But quite frankly, the positives outweigh the negatives in that you can grow them up organically in your firm and teach them what, you know, what they need to do and show them the career path. And all of a sudden, it is a career. Hmm. So though there's no degree, I think being out there, having a marketing strategy around how you onboard college grads into your organization and then being visible are at that level are really the most important factors.
You had mentioned, you know, the metrics to take a look at, you know, those intangibles of taking initiative, being team-centric. Are there other things that staffing firms should be looking for when they're hiring somebody kind of in that entry level position in, into their industry? Like what are some of the things they should look for to know this person will be successful even if they have never had any experience in this industry?
Great question. And the way that I phrase this, I describe this person as an alpha with empathy. So it's an alpha male, or alpha female, someone who is motivated, competitive, perhaps played sports in high school or college. It is like an extrovert, a clear extrovert, likes people, but wants to do the job, though, you know, he or she should be motivated financially. Absolutely, that he should be there because it's a production business. Mm-hmm. The real motivator should be, I want to help people get great jobs.
Yeah.
And when I make a placement, I feel good. Yes, I may make a nice commission, but that feels good. It feels good to get somebody into a great job. So the other thing is emotional intelligence. Mm. Having, which doesn't, sometimes doesn't come with that personality I just described. But being able to read people, read situations, self-awareness, being able to self-manage, not get so frustrated that people don't want to work with you because you're, you know, have a temper tantrum, some things like that as well. So, and we do see that in the industry, especially in producer roles. So I think that blend, but it is that person who wants to be successful, inherently wants to be successful, and certainly likes people. I have seen introverts do very well in this business, and what unfortunately happens over time is they usually hit a point where they're just not comfortable in this environment. That's what I see most frequently. It's not that introverts can't be successful in the front office, they indeed can, but are they comfortable? Do they want to be in that environment? That's the question. Mm. I think hiring managers need to ask themselves.
Are you in favor of hiring for culture fit, or would you rather hire the best overall candidate and try and mold them into your culture?
So that depends on the level you're hiring for.
Hmm.
I think at the new recruiter level, that, you know, for example, that college grad that we were discussing, or someone maybe 2 or 3 years out of school who hasn't been a recruiter, you can introduce that individual to your culture and mold that new hire. Hmm. And I think you're not going to have any issue there. I have seen way too many executives, owners and executives hire people very experienced in staffing, with, you know, all the tools to be successful and hit the ground running. And sometimes they do, sometimes they don't, but that cultural fit will often, make or break and sometimes break that hire. I've seen many executives hired and fired within the first 2 years because of a cultural mismatch, which is really unfortunate.
Yeah.
So I think it's important to vet for culture. And again, that goes back to how we hire in this industry, which is usually what I call knee jerk. We sit down with someone for 45 minutes to an hour and we think we know how to hire, and we make a very quick decision. This is the right individual. We need to do more vetting.
I want to talk about the owner, the leadership level here, because we had Barry Aysen from SIA on our last episode, and we talked about leadership in the staffing and recruiting industry, and he had mentioned about a study they had done with some of the fastest growing staffing firms, and the one thing that really set them apart was strong leadership. What are some of the most important characteristics that staffing owners and managers need to have if they're going to scale up their business in 2019?
Very good question. And I'm as passionate as Barry is and anybody else in this industry is about it. Frankly, a lot of people, just like people fall into the industry, they also hit a point in their careers if they're in a production role where they say, gosh, you know, I could do this on my own. And they get, perhaps get some funding and they hang a shingle out in front of the building and all of a sudden they're in a staffing business. What they may not have is leadership experience.
Yeah.
So the best, I agree very wholeheartedly, the firms that perform, you know, head and shoulders above the rest are those that either come from some kind of leadership background or they are wise enough to understand that they need to get smart about the difference between managing and leading, and both are appropriate, and inspiring a group of people, getting them, first of all, having a vision. So that would be one of my, at the top of the list. And the ability to align and rally people around the company's mission, vision are critical. So that's where it starts. And then it's more, and that's the tactical day-to-day stuff. So strong leadership behaviors are things like investing in your people, knowing that training is essential, knowing that coaching and mentoring is essential and in the trenches moment to moment when you're small. As you get bigger, you're going to hire people who are in the trenches with your producers. So coaching, mentoring, and then there's a third thing that I see all too often. Maybe all of those other components are there in the leader. But what I see too much of is this, the only word I can use is moodiness, right? And if there is, when things are going well, if the owner executive is in a great mood, that's great. If the owner executive allows him or herself to show a bad mood, then the staff, and I've observed this many, many times, you know, obviously as an outsider coming in and look, doing a kind of look under the hood, I can see the faces. So if the owner is not in a good mood, everybody is more consumed with walking on eggshells around the owner, worried about the owner's mood, than they are still in orders. So I think even what I tell my owners when I work with them and execs is, look, you don't get to be in a bad mood. So maintaining a positive attitude, even when things are not going well, is critical to keeping people engaged and productive. Again, this is a tough business.
Yeah, absolutely. As we continue to look here at 2019, what do you see as the biggest threat to the staffing industry in 2019?
Yeah, it's shrinking talent pool. There's no end in sight in terms of unemployment declining, notwithstanding a major event like a recession. I think that it's going to continually be really hard, particularly on the temp contract side of the business, not as much in direct hire because we can recruit from the employed workforce. But again, they're important to take people, maybe underserved populations of people, and get those folks ready for contract jobs that could turn into full-time jobs. So when you're talking about, 3.7% unemployment, if we drop further, and we probably will, all the pundits are saying we'll shrink further, then one to 2% of those folks are unemployable. So you're really talking about full employment. So again, temporary and contract jobs, the folks that are available and willing and able to do those jobs is tough to find. They're going to be tougher to find. So that I think is the biggest threat next year.
Let's talk more positively. What's the staffing industry's biggest opportunity in 2019?
So yes, the light at the end of the tunnel is, I think, without turning into training companies, staffing firms, and I say that emphatically because we don't want to take, stay in our lane and not take our focus off our core business, which is staffing. But I think the staffing firms that are partnering with training firms and educational institutions and using artificial intelligence to screen people and upskill and reskill workers, particularly as technology continues to drive the need for, frankly, new and different types of jobs. I think that's a huge opportunity for staffing firms, but I think it's frankly essential. I think we've got to figure out how to upskill and reskill workers.
All right. Before we let you go, let's do our rapid fire here. Five quick questions. First thing that comes to mind, it's where we get to know a little bit more about you. If you weren't in staffing, what would you be doing?
I would be using any means necessary to reach out to as many people as I can to develop a pipeline of not only candidates, but referral sources. Some really good recruiters and recruiting firms are doing very creative things in referrals. They are, they're actually paying people, even if those folks aren't employees, they're paying anybody who refers someone they could work. So the grassroots stuff is important, but I think you got to be out there networking. You have to be present on social media. Must. You have to have your own brand image. There's the company image, and then there's your personal brand. And I think you have to spend time cultivating that and making sure, again, that you're touching people through every means necessary, using social media, using the website, using your network of people to reach as many folks as you can. And that's really on the recruiting side and on the client side. That's critical stuff.
The book, blog, podcast, website, magazine that you look to for inspiration?
Oh, gosh. There are so many, Todd. One of my all-time favorites is obviously The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. I'm learning over time that there are folks today that don't even know what that is. They're not even familiar with it.
Yep.
But Stephen Covey's principles, the 7 habits, are still those I reference a lot when I'm doing training.
Proudest moment of your career?
Proudest moment of my career was when I started my consulting practice and I was profitable in the first 3 months.
That's awesome. biggest career regret?
You know, that might even be when I came out of school way back now, not moving to New York when I was young. I really probably should have done that, and I think we all have those kinds of regrets before I got entrenched in family life and other things. So not doing a stint in New York, I think, is probably it. It's probably my biggest.
Like that. And finally, finish this sentence. In 5 years, the staffing industry will...
5 years, the staffing industry will still be needed, but look different.
I like it.
Still be needed, but look different.
I like it. She is Amy Bingham, the owner of Bingham Consulting Professionals. You can check them out at binghamcp.com. Amy, I can't thank you enough for all your time today and for sharing your secrets of staffing success.
Thanks very much, Kat. It was great.
Yeah, my big thanks to Amy Bingham there. If you'd like to find out more about Amy and Bingham Consulting Professionals, you can go to binghamcp.com. It's BINGHAMCP.com. I know we've talked about it on past episodes, but I wanted to bring it up again because it's kind of timely as we're approaching the end of 2018 here. But planning, strategic planning, having goals, it continues to amaze me. I just talked with a prospect this week and asked, you know, what are your plans for 2019? What are your goals for 2019? Well, we really don't have any. How can you expect to be successful in this industry without a strategic plan, without specific goals in mind? And it's going to do two things for you. One is you're going to have a goal. You're going to have something to strive for, some sort of motivation. But it's also going to tell you, you know, what worked, what didn't work throughout the year. You know, we tried this marketing tactic and it didn't work. We tried this sales approach, it didn't work, or it did work. So I can't stress enough the need for strategic planning. If you're even if you're just a mom and pop shop, if you're just a two-person organization, you need to do strategic planning. You need to have goals and make sure they're very specific. You can't just say, well, we want to grow. Great. By how much? 25%. That's awesome. Now, what is it going to take to get there? Having goals is essentially your roadmap for the next year or the next quarter or the next half a year, however, you know, however often you want to do strategic planning. And I suggest not waiting till the end of the year, but revisiting those goals throughout the year. So What are our goals? How are we going to measure them is the next step. Get the specific goals in mind. How are we going to measure their success? What is it going to take to get to those goals? And then I think the most important part of the goal setting process too is having your team involved. And like I said, whether you're just a three-person team or whether you're a 30-person team or a 300-person team, have your team involved. Have them know why you've set these goals and what it's going to take to achieve those goals so they feel a part of the process. It's one of the great things we do here at Haley Marketing towards the end of the year. We talk about, as a group, as a whole, you know, very transparently, what are our goals for 2019 or the next year? And how are we going to get there? So don't think just because, well, yeah, we had a good year, we'll just keep doing what we're doing. No, maybe it'll get you through for a while. But if you really want to scale your business, if you really want to grow your business, you need to do strategic planning. We've got some great resources up on lunchwithhaley.com to help you do some of that planning, to talk about marketing ROI and sales ROI. I suggest you definitely check those out. But that's kind of my words of wisdom there after our conversation with Amy is do strategic planning. Please, 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 please do some strategic planning and some goal setting. We got to run. If you'd like to check out all of our past episodes, they are up on HaleyMarketing.com. Just go to the freebies section and search for The Secrets of Staffing Success. You can also subscribe to us on iTunes, on Google Play, on Stitcher, on Spotify, anywhere where you find podcasts. You can find The Secrets of Staffing Success. And you can also follow us on Twitter at Staffing Podcast. I want to thank everybody for listening and subscribing and reviewing our show. And we will talk to you next time on Secrets of Staffing Success.